It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
In your golden years with yours truly this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time. That's 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com and directly on my website at drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear tonight's show again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's drmarakarpel.com. Again, that's drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast will be posted after the show. And for information from this show and updates about the upcoming shows, again, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to advertise your business? Send me an email to drmara@drmarakarpel.com or go through my website. Again, drmarakarpel.com, or call me at 512-626-6973. 512-626-6973. Tonight's show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by the bra lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. Tonight's show is also sponsored by Live Oak Legacies, committed to helping families capture and preserve the stories, recipes, photographs, and relics held the most dear. Find out more at liveoaklegacies.com. And today is Sunday, May 11th, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and happy Mother's Day to my mom, town for a week last week. And if you listen to the show, you know that my mom and dad were in the studio while they were visiting Austin, Texas, before returning to Brooklyn after a winter in sunny Florida. And they had a great week and experienced lots of live music, which they love, including the musical guest for tonight's show, The Brew, who we went to celebrate Cinco de Mayo with. It's a beautiful Mother's Day here in beautiful Austin, Texas, and we are going to be connecting with The Brew in a while, who are celebrating Mother's Day at the Oasis on Lake Travis. They'll be taking the stage at 7:30 this evening, so we're going to catch them before they go on stage. And we're broadcasting from the Office of Accomplice Entertainment in the Intelligent Office Suite on the 15th floor of the Frost Bank Building on Congress Avenue. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is here doing the production engineering for tonight's show, and he will be answering your calls if you call later with any questions. So be sure to call in and say hi to Art and ask some questions or make some comments. If this is the first time you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. You can listen to the podcast of my show from the local Austin radio show and from here on Blog Talk Radio by going to my website. Again, that's drmarakarpel.com. For this evening's show, we have a very special Mother's Day lineup with our usual awesome lineup of guests every week. I can't say that we've ever had a not awesome lineup of guests, but tonight's a special Mother's Day show. And in the first hour, I will be joined from right here in Austin, Texas, by Catherine Gonzalez, owner of Live Oak Legacies, which, as I mentioned in just a little while ago, is committed to helping families capture and preserve the stories of their family that is held most dear. And Catherine was on my show last fall, and at that time I got the idea to have her put together a website to preserve some of my family's memories. And Kat is back tonight to talk about all of the incredible things she can do for families to preserve your memories, and to talk about the progress of the project she's been working on for me and my family. Then stay tuned for a packed second hour when we'll be joined by combat veteran and skydive instructor Eric Normandin, who will join us to tell us about an event in upstate New York on Memorial Day weekend to raise money for the Wounded Warrior Project and to give wounded warriors a chance to tandem skydive. And this event is called Tandems for Troops, and Eric will be telling us more about that and how you might be able to get involved from wherever you are. And also, I'm very excited to have a celebrity guest joining us this evening in the second hour, joining us from Kerrville, Texas, home of the Utopia Animal Rescue Ranch. We have the founder of that ranch, musician, performer, humorist, entrepreneur, novelist, and candidate for the Texas Commissioner of Agriculture, nicknamed the Governor of the Heart of Texas, the Kinkster himself, Kinky Friedman, will be joining us. So that'll be really exciting, and you need to be sure to stay tuned to hear Kinky and what he has to say. Also, as I mentioned, joining us live from the Oasis on Lake Travis, where they're getting ready to take the stage for a special Mom's Day show. On the phone, we will have the members of Austin's favorite and my favorite salsa band, The Brew. And also, since May is both National Meditation Month and National Mental Health Month, I will be talking about meditation for your mental health. And throughout the show, I will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or my guests, please feel free to call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. And if you don't want to call, you can also email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmaracarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A. K-A-R-P, like Paul, E-L, or send me a tweet. I have my Twitter page on, so I'll get your tweets, and I can read those out loud as well. And my Twitter handle is M-A-R-A-E-K. So be sure to send your questions and your comments. So now, before we go to our guests, I would like to talk a little bit about meditation for mental health. And one of the topics that I have frequently discussed on my show is that of stress and how chronic stress and anxiety can damage every organ of the human body. And chronic stress can also lead to anxiety and depression, leading to a downward cycle of both physical and mental health. And I've spoken about this many times and various ways to keep yourself from going down through that spiral. And May, as I mentioned, happens to be both National Mental Health Month and National Meditation Month, so I thought this would be a great time to talk about meditation for mental health. I would like to talk briefly about the benefits of meditation for mental health and physical health. I'm also going to talk about some of the different types of meditation and give you some quick tips on how to meditate. However, before I talk about what meditation is, I'd like to first talk about what meditation isn't. And there are many myths about meditation causing some listeners out there, and you know who you are, to perhaps become quickly turned off about meditation or believe that meditation is something that they're not able to do or that they shouldn't do for some reason. And so here are the top five myths that I have run across with regard to meditation whenever I have spoken about it with clients. Myth number one, many people believe that meditation is a religious practice, which again may turn some people onto meditation, but it's likely to turn many people off, especially if they already faithfully follow their own religion. They're afraid that if they meditate, then they'll be following a different religion. Well, in fact, meditation and yoga, which can be seen as a moving meditation, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little while, are ancient practices that transcend religion. And in their purest form, they are not about devotion to any deity, but are about inner focus and finding a place of peace within yourself. And you can follow any religion and still meditate. Meditation is beneficial for everyone, no matter what your religious or other beliefs. And meditation has been practiced for thousands of years, and it was originally meant to deepen a person's understanding of mystical and sacred forces of the universe. And some people still use it for that. They choose to use it for that. But it's most commonly used for relaxation and stress reduction. And we all need that, no matter what religion or if you don't have a religion. Okay, so myth number two, you must sit in the lotus position. That's sitting cross-legged on the floor in order to meditate. And this is not true at all. Although many people do sit in that position during certain types of meditation, even in those types of meditation, it's not a requirement. The only requirements are to be in the most comfortable position possible and to maintain the best posture that you can so that you can get an easy flow of oxygen into your lungs through your body whenever you breathe. So if you can't get onto the floor and sit with your legs crossed, keep listening because you can still meditate. Okay, so myth number three, meditation is like hypnosis. Well, in fact, meditation is the opposite of hypnosis. While in hypnosis you're unaware of what's going on, meditation brings you to a much clearer awareness of each and every moment. Myth number four, meditation is about controlling your thoughts. Well, in fact, controlling your thoughts takes a lot of effort. And while in meditation, the goal is to be more relaxed and you don't want to have negative thoughts. And the goal of meditation is to try to eliminate them. However, in trying to be more relaxed, you also don't put in large amounts of effort to do anything. So in meditation, thoughts come and go, good ones, bad ones, neutral ones, and the goal is to not get hooked in by the thoughts and to just notice them, allow them, and to gently let them go like clouds drifting by in the sky. So effortlessly letting the thoughts come into your mind and effortlessly letting them leave. Not trying to control your thoughts and another myth is that you try not to have any thoughts, and that's just impossible. I mean, take one moment right now and try not to have a thought. So how did that go? I'm guessing not very well, and that just leads to more frustration. So trying not to have a thought is not a good way to meditate. Focusing your attention on something that distracts you, like a word or a picture that's relaxing, is a way to keep other thoughts at bay. But you have to have some thought going on in your mind, whether it's that word or the picture or any other, or else you're going to have other thoughts as well. So your mind just can't stop thinking. And myth number five, meditation is about running away from problems. In fact, meditation is about empowering us to face our problems with calm and confidence. So we don't try to run away from our problems. It's not possible to run away from our problems. But if we can be calm and confident, then we can better handle our problems and come up with solutions. And some of the problems may turn out to be not really problems once we meditate and get a different perspective. So now that we've busted some of the myths about meditation, why meditate? Well, the number one reason meditation is important is because meditation can decrease stress and bring inner calm. And since I said earlier that chronic stress is damaging to every organ of the human body and can lead to anxiety and depression, this is a pretty big reason to find ways to reduce stress, such as through meditation. In addition, anyone can practice meditation. It's simple, it's inexpensive, it's often free, it doesn't require any special equipment, and you can actually practice meditation anywhere, whether you're walking, riding a bus, sitting in your office, waiting for a doctor's appointment, and no one even has to know that you are meditating. So the famous Mayo Clinic, the worldwide leader in medical care, has recently published an article about the benefits of meditation. And one of the benefits that they mention is that meditation increases emotional well-being and overall health, which continues long after you end your meditation session. So some specific benefits of meditation include gaining a new perspective and a way of viewing a stressful situation, increasing coping skills to better manage stress, increasing self-awareness and negative self-sabotaging behaviors that may be increasing your stress, decreasing negative emotions, and bringing us back to the present moment. Now, just an aside about being in the present moment, there's a poem, and I don't remember the author of it, but I'd like to remember it whenever I'm spending too much time thinking about negative past events or worrying about what might happen in the future. Here's the poem. The past is history, the future is a mystery, but this moment is a gift, and that is why this moment is called the present. Meditation is also powerful in managing certain medical conditions, especially those conditions that can be made worse with stress, which, again, is really just about every medical condition. But here are some of the specific medical conditions that the Mayo Clinic mentions that can benefit from meditation. Asthma, cancer, heart disease, hypertension, pain, sleep problems, depression, and anxiety. And researchers from Johns Hopkins University, when looking at 47 well-designed research studies that had addressed the issue of meditation's impact on mental health, found that the type of meditation called mindfulness meditation, which we'll talk about in a little while, can help ease anxiety, depression, and pain. And their findings were pretty significant, and they were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine. And another recent study conducted by Dr. Elizabeth Hogue, a psychiatrist at the Center for Anxiety and Traumatic Stress Disorders at Massachusetts General Hospital, that was also published in that same journal, found that a mindfulness meditation-based stress reduction program significantly decreased anxiety symptoms in people with generalized anxiety disorder, which is a condition that is marked by hard-to-control worries, poor sleep, and irritability. Okay, so when people were engaged in these meditations, in this meditation program, they did not need medication. So meditation rather than medication. Meditation has also been found to increase attention, concentration, and memory skills, and several studies have found that meditation actually increases gray matter density in the brain, cortical thickness, and the integrity of connections between brain regions, which is all important for staying cognitively sharp as we age. We all want to keep those connections working well, and we want to keep as much gray matter as we can in our brain. So briefly, as I mentioned, there are many different ways to meditate. Yoga, as we have discussed on this program before with some expert yoga teachers, is a form of moving excuse me, moving meditation. When you're engaging in yoga, you're performing a series of postures and controlled breathing techniques, which increase flexibility in your body and they calm your mind. And in order to maintain balance and follow these movements and breathing techniques correctly, you need to be present moment focused, which is meditation. Tai Chi is another form of moving meditation, which we have talked about on the program. You can meditate by using guided meditation, guided imagery. And then there's mindfulness meditation, in which you might sit quietly and focus your attention on your breathing while allowing your thoughts to come and go without hooking into them, as I mentioned earlier. So I know we need to go because we have a guest who is coming on the show in just a moment, but I'd like you to try this very easy but powerful meditation by the monk Thich Nhat Hanh. Focus your attention on your breathing wherever you are right now and say to yourself, breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Dwelling in the present moment, I know this is a wonderful moment. Again, breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Dwelling in the present moment, I know this is a wonderful moment. So keep doing that through the break. We're going to take a very quick break, and we'll be back with Catherine Gonzalez, owner of Live Oak Legacies. And we'll be taking your calls, tweets, and emails. So keep breathing, stay mindful, and we'll be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show. Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpel.com. Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
I almost spoke all the words that I wanted to say. I almost saw what you look like, bless your wall. But almost doesn't count anymore. And the sure thing never will.
I have thought. And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel, and you're looking here on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And we're going to take just a brief break right now to adjust something. We'll be right back.
So many things are so trivial to me when I see all the world around me. And at times I forget the simplicity of it all, of it all.
All right, and we are back again. Again, if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining me on the phone from right here in Austin, Texas, Catherine Gonzalez, owner of Live Oak Legacies, which, as I mentioned at the start of each of my shows recently, is committed to helping families capture and preserve their stories that are held most dear. And Catherine was on my show last fall, and she's been putting together a website for my family to preserve our memories. And Kat is back tonight to talk about all of the incredible things that she can do for your family to preserve your memories and to talk about the progress that she's making with my project. And we're taking your calls and your questions and comments. You can give a call at toll-free, 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can send me an email or a tweet with your question, and I'll read it out loud for Catherine to answer. You can email me at drmara at drmarakarpel.com, or you can tweet me at M-A-R-A-E-K. So welcome, Catherine.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Always such a pleasure.
I just want to mention right at the start that there's always a little bit of a delay when we speak on the phone through the radio. So just be aware of that so we don't talk over each other.
Okay, sounds good.
So happy Mother's Day. I hope you had a lovely time with your mother today. I know you were spending time with her to celebrate.
Yes, we had a lovely day. I took her out to Becker Vineyards out in the Hill Country, and we did wine tasting and had a picnic, and it was quite beautiful, actually. Perfect.
Very nice. That sounds, it's a beautiful day for that.
It sure was. Perfect.
So, Catherine, before we talk about Live Oak Legacies and all. So the amazing work that you have done in capturing my very cherished family memories, I want to talk about the Mother's Day video that you did on YouTube. I saw that today. That was great.
Wasn't that so fun?
So how did that come about?
Well, when we were looking, you know, for every sort of major holiday, we look for some, you know, fun thing to do to promote our services. And, you know, we just have this wealth of incredible people, you know, in this city. And we thought a lot of our focus has been on individual family stories around our promotions. You know, it's like sort of, we even thought about focusing on a mother-daughter story, on a father-mother story. And this year we decided that it would be really cool to get Austin icons, you know, or iconic people around town to tell a story about their mother, like their favorite memory with their mother. And in all cases, actually, quite by luck, everyone who shared a story had their mother around still. So it was really just a very sweet moment of sharing, and everyone got really into it and excited. We had folks like the radio hosts for 101X, for example, who were kind of like, they were in some ways my favorite, just because they were, you know, they've got this like on-air persona, and they were still very funny about, I mean, they didn't really share full-on stories, but their personalities were, and their love for their mothers really came out simultaneously. I thought that was really sweet. And really with everyone, we just had such sweet thoughts of their mothers. And it just really, I mean, it was a really worthwhile project for us just to sort of have that experience of talking with our peers about and really taking a moment to share that. And, you know, in a way, I feel most everyone who participated wanted on some, you know, couldn't wait for the video to be released so they could show their moms as part of their Mother's Day gift. And I think that it really, for us, confirmed, you know, how important this service is, like this idea of capturing these stories so that families can share them. And anyway, it was just such a, it was a wonderful project.
Yeah, and I posted it on my Facebook page. So if people want to check out my Facebook page, but how else can they see this video if they haven't seen
it? Yes, it's on our website, www.liveoaklegacies.com. There are actually two versions. There's one that is just all of the people who participated saying Happy Mother's Day. And then if you watch that video, there's in the notes on YouTube, there's a link to a longer version of that with people actually sharing stories. And actually, yeah, so and you can, we've posted both of those videos on our Facebook page as well.
Okay. Yeah, I think I posted the shorter one, but I will post the longer one as well. I'll post it on my website as well.
That would be great. There was this one moment, which I know you would appreciate, Hoover's Cooking. Have you ever eaten there?
I have not.
Okay, well, you should. It's incredible soul food, okay, over on Winter Road. But there, I think that you'll be especially interested in his story and how his mother inspired him to really open this restaurant, which has become this beacon here in town. Yeah, that was a really, really sweet moment.
So Catherine, as you know, and I want to let my listeners know, after the last time you were on the show, I decided to have you create a website for my family. I had mentioned to you when you were at the radio station with me that I had these little video that I did on my Android phone of my father where he just spontaneously started talking about how he met my mother. And it gave me the idea when you were on how wonderful it would be to also do an interview with my mother. And then also, they just happened to have a video from their wedding in 1952 that was in color. And you put that all together on this website, and it was incredible. I mean, I sent the link to my family for Thanksgiving, and you know, everybody told me they had to have a box of tissues near them to watch it because it was just so beautiful. And I know that you're continuing to work on it, but you know, because these websites are kind of dynamic, and I was able to get the original film, which is even clearer and a little bit longer. I can't say enough about how special that is. And I knew that it would be special, but I guess I didn't realize how strong the impact would be until I actually saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's usually the sentiment across the board. What's interesting about this particular service, this type of service, is, I have yet to speak to someone about doing this for their families. You know, everyone can think of someone or something that they have, be it a video or a box of photos or something that would be worth capturing and preserving. Like, really, it's a universal, we're in agreement that these things are priceless. And yet, often there isn't sort of an urgency around doing it. And what I think is so powerful about your having taken action in that space is that your parents are still here. You have this incredible luxury, and so do I, of continuing to build memories with them. And that you took it upon yourself to proactively get this done while, you know, it wasn't for any sort of a memorial service, right? It was for everyone to share and enjoy in now. I mean, I can only imagine that what you felt, and you know, in terms of pride and just like excitement of and emotion around these videos, it was tenfold with your parents because they know that they can see that you care so much about preserving their legacy, about sharing it now, and about honoring them, you know, and what they and their contributions to your family. And your videos are so sweet. I mean, it was really just a complete joy to watch them and to work on that website, to continue to work on it.
So what other preserve, you know, for me, you came up with this family website. I happen to have these videos, but I know that you have a whole variety of services that you can provide to help people to preserve their family memories and, you know, pictures and all kinds of things. So what other services can you tell listeners about?
Sure. We sort of break our services up into three categories. One is this archiving arm, which is very important and a really good starting point when families are like, you know, we have all of these things and we just don't really know where to begin. I really love, very similar to what we did for you, is like, let's gather all of the things that you have now and get them digitized and backed up so that, you know, you know that you'll have them forever. Heaven forbid something happened to the original video or the film that we had digitized for you. You know that you can make copies of it now. You know, it will never, you'll always have that. And so that's a really great place to start, because then we really can start unearthing some of the family stories and piece together who's here and who might be, you know, a good candidate to participate in one of our, you know, in an extension of the project. So the archiving arm is the first start. And if you're in Central Texas, you know, we work all throughout, we're really all throughout Texas, but if you're in Central Texas, it's very easy. We can get the photos from you. And, you know, if you feel uncomfortable about mailing them, we can even arrange to have them picked up and dropped off. Same with videos, VHS, or any sort of 16-millimeter film. That's a really, really great starting point, is using our archiving services. If you live out of town, we have a very safe mailing system that we use to get the originals, and then we'll digitize them all and deliver them back on a hard drive. So that's a really great just like starting point, as I mentioned, and then beyond that, and maybe even a different starting point depending on the family need, we have this video component, video offering that we can do. So we can come in and interview a family member or an entire family and really start to just ask the questions and be that third party kind of neutral, you know, interviewer that I think ends up drawing out pretty incredible stories that the family didn't even really know existed. And so we can either do that on video or audio. I prefer to do video just because, again, you sort of capture the essence of people that way. We can come in and do, one of the things that we do that we have the most fun doing is setting up what we call memory booths at events. So if you have like a big family gathering, we can come and sort of set up in an area and have people come in and out of what sort of looks like a photo booth, but share memories. So this is really great for like 50th wedding anniversaries or, again, family reunions, anything that brings families together. It's a really great opportunity. We recently did this for my grandmother, well, my late grandmother, I should say. We're selling her estate in East Austin, and I had all my family members just come one by one and share their favorite memory of that house. And I can't tell you, like, I mean, it was so moving, even though I know, and this is my family, you know, I know all of these stories, but there's something
right
about, yeah, and again, knowing that, you know, the house is still with us, and we took the time to just, like, share a little bit about it, and forever we'll have that to reference and to show our kids and our, you know, just incredible. So video component, I think, is really quite powerful. We can take, you know, we offer these sort of, like, grand productions, even if you have just, like, you really want to honor someone. Again, this is a really great idea for like a big anniversary gift or a big birthday. But we can do these essentially like personal documentaries where we take those photos and the VHS videos and all sort of older footage and piece them together to really paint the narrative of that person's life. And again, so something that, like, if you wanted to, you know, again, it's a really special thing to do for, especially for an event. And then otherwise, one of the great things that we've recently started to offer is this almost DIY kit where we'll mail you a number of questions that you should, you know, consider asking your loved one. And then you, even with an iPhone or with your own, if you happen to have a DSLR camera or any sort of camera that you have, really, you do the interview yourself. This sort of takes away any barriers of, like, if you don't live in Central Texas, if it's not easy for us to access you. We will travel for projects, but it's, you know, if you're on a budget and want to do it and still want to do this. And you essentially send us the clip back, usually online, via Dropbox or something, and we will piece together, much like we did for your, and what we're doing for you, Mara, with your videos, where we're kind of going to piece them together and make them, you know, sort of editorialize a little bit, just like frame them up. So we do that. So we just, like, we'll take your interview, clean it up, produce a video that can then be hosted on your personal website or can just be emailed to you on a DVD, or rather mailed back to you on a DVD. So it's almost just like, again, it's just a concept of doing it yourself. You mail in not only that, but you'll send us some photos as well so we can piece those in. So it's a little mini documentary of that person or of your family. Just because not everyone really knows how to edit, right? And, like, we have this vision for how the family narrative can go, and we can sort of, like, help you piece that together. And then the last sort of category of products that we offer are books, which, I mean, I think are just as important as videos. And really, like, ideally someone will want or be able to do a video and a book and a website, because that really covers the, like, all ground, right? Like, you will have everything, and you can share it with every family member who has access to the internet, you know, which I think is incredible. But there's still something about the tangible piece in the book that I think is really important, not only to older generations, to my generation, to even younger generations. There's something very nostalgic, there's something very powerful about holding a story and reading it, right? And so what we do is we'll either start with an audio interview, or if we did a video interview, we transcribe it, again, working with your family photos and working with a point of contact in the family to flesh out a narrative about this person or about this couple or a family to produce a really beautiful, elegant coffee table book that can be passed down through generations. Again, physical component, which is, I think, crucial. So really that kind of covers, I mean, there's more, right? But that's like the basic buckets of service that we offer.
Okay. So, Catherine, we're going to take a quick break so
sure.
that people can get to their phones, or they can get to their emails, and they can give a call with questions or send some questions. Again, the phone number to call with questions is 855-345-4720. And the email is drmara@drmaracarpell.com, or you can tweet your questions to me, to M-A-R-A-E-K. Okay, Catherine?
That sounds good.
Okay, so stay on the line, and we'll be right back.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpell.com.
C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. C'est le bon ton roulé. That is what they all say. Et toi?
Okay, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in Your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and on live streaming podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And I am speaking with Catherine Gonzalez, owner of Live Oak Legacies, which helps families capture and preserve their most cherished memories. And we are taking your questions and your comments. You can give a call at 855-345-4720. It's 855-345-4720, or send me a tweet to M-A-R-A-E-K or an email to drmara@drmarakarpel.com. So, Catherine, I did receive a question online asking for the price range of these packages.
Sure. So for the archiving services, it's an hourly rate. That varies based on location. So a typically starting at $45 an hour for the Central Texas region. The package, so like the DIY package is in the neighborhood of $150. So that's where you conduct the interviews and send them to us and we piece it together and send it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then really it varies so much depending on the situation, really. So we often customize, in your case, the proposal. So almost always our projects start with some level of a quick consultation just so we can understand what the need is. Full-scale productions, like a full-scale personal documentary is in the neighborhood of $3,000 or $4,000, depending. So it can get very, we can get very like you as our super high-end production team. But we also offer, we're not exactly like just an elite service that just provides that. So we have ways of scaling that down to meet whatever budgets. Because just ultimately committed to making sure that we're serving any family that wants some level of this, and there are a variety of options for that.
Right. Really varies. I have seen the prices, and they really vary from real low cost, affordable services to more extravagant types of services. So it really mm-hmm. depends on, what people want and what they can afford, right?
Exactly. Really, we could even, often we start with the question, what is your budget? And, what do you think that you could a lot for a project like this, and then we'll let you know all of the things that we could do within that budget. And that's mm-hmm. sometimes an easier way to even approach it. The books, if we just went in and did an audio interview, or if it was a DIY situation where they conducted the audio interview and just sent it to us, the books, which again I think are super special, they start at $600. And I think that's a really, really great starting point service because again we also give you the audio from that interview if we conduct it, so that's
right.
Really special. We did actually several books for Mother's Day this year that were really quite mm-hmm. special.
I would imagine that you're pretty busy for Mother's Day.
Yeah, we were. It was really fun though leading up to it. I have to say it made me think a lot, reflect a lot on my experiences with my mom. It's great.
So what was some of the most fulfilling Mother's Day projects that you worked on this year?
Honestly, the video that we did, the Austin Icons video was extremely powerful for me. And there was, I started to tell you about Hoover's cooking, which was, so I, part of the impetus for my starting Live Oak Legacies was that I had never met my grandparents before. I never met my grandfathers before. And I befriended this 95-year-old man who was my neighbor when I was a sophomore in college at UT. And he and I got to be really good friends. And after a few months of sort of going out to lunch, we often went to Hoover's. I asked him if he would be interested in being my adopted grandfather. And he said, yes.
Yeah.
And it was just this really sweet moment. And really, from then on, I was granddaughter Kat, and he was Grandpa Brooks. And he was this iconic, I know, incredible. So he was this iconic gentleman out of East Austin, and who was, like, really big into his church and, again, like, a pillar in his community, knew the owner of Hoover. Just, like, everywhere he went, he knew a ton of people, right? And had had, like, a very huge, loving family that he had raised. And so it wasn't as though, you know, I mean, I was one of, like, he had 30-some-odd grandkids. You know what I mean? But he treated me like I was one of his. I mean, when I lived in New York, he would call me all the time. I mean, he was on my list of people that I saw when I come back from his family. And so I really wanted to get back to Austin to get his story. So at the time, I didn't know whether or not I was going to pursue this idea. But when I knew that at the very least, I wanted to get his story. So I did. He's sort of my pillar project. Anytime I go into a consultation, I take his everything as an example. And I don't remember if I told this story at the last time I was on the show, but after he passed away, right after we finished the project, and it was incredible because we finished it like 2 weeks beforehand. And the project took on this amazing extension. Like, we showed the video at his funeral. We had the book on display. Like, it was, we opened up his website so that there was a guest book. I mean, it was so powerful and so comforting to know that we all had this, right? So when I went to interview Hoover, Alexander Hoover, the owner of the restaurant, we were emailing, and he said, "Hey, do you know that we have a," he's like, "Of course I'll participate in your interview. That sounds amazing. Also, do you know that we have a room dedicated to Mr. Brooks?" So I hadn't been there since he passed away. So it was just such an emotional moment, like gathering his story, having him love Mr. Brooks the way that I did. I had, again, because I carry around the sample kit with me, I happen to have the book in my trunk. So I showed it to him. He didn't get a chance to see it beforehand. He was blown away, like, that we had this story, and obviously wanted a copy. And, you know, it was just, and we looked at each other, we're just very overwhelmed with emotion, and I couldn't quite, like, articulate what that was, you know, happenstance, serendipity, I don't know, but it was just this moment. And he looked at me and said, "You know what this is?" And I'm like, "I have no idea." He goes, "It's the divine stirring of the pudding." And I just got chilled. I was like, "You're right. That's exactly what this is." I mean, I don't even, you know, I never even heard that before, but yes, it's the divine stirring of the pudding. And anyway, so that for me was, I continue to have these moments of just overwhelming love for this work and kind of encouragement in this way. And so, which just, you know, is fuel, and it's so necessary at times. And that was just the perfect, it was exactly what needed to happen, was just to have that reinforcement. It was wonderful. So that was, for me, the most powerful moment leading up to Mother's Day.
Well, it sounds like you found a brother.
Absolutely. And I mean, his mother is still alive. He told the story of making tomato jam with her. And I'm like, "Oh, we've got to do a recipe book for her." Oh, that's another thing we do. And I love this. This is one of my favorite projects to work on. When you've got recipes that you know you do not want to lose. And I regret every day that we did not get my grandmother's recipe for, she had the snow cone syrup that I think about every time it starts to get hot out. And I have no idea, nobody knows how to make it, but it was the most incredible. She had this ice block shaver thing that she'd make these homemade snow cones. It were incredible. No idea, like, how she did that with the syrup. And so food and stories are so crucial, right? So one of the things that we do also is help families gather all of their recipes and stories and photos. So it becomes this really, like, beautiful, full-on production of a book that is all, everything, right? Every component that I think is important.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah, great.
I think the last time you were on, you talked a little bit about this, about your mom and how she inspired you to start the business. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, my mom is just the bee's knees, really, and she was always, just a super mom. Like, she had a full-time job and made dinner every single night in her heels with an apron on, like, just power lady to the max. Made it to every single dance recital, anything that we were involved in, she was right there and continues to be. And I'm just in awe of her energy. She had me a little bit later, especially for the time. She had me when she was 38, and I was a little unexpected. I mean, she doesn't mind telling you, but it's like the ongoing joke. And it's true, but I did. I kept my parents very young, and or at least that's what she says in front of me. But I think so. I mean, she has this incredibly young, like energy, you know, and spirit. And what inspires me most about her, especially professionally, and what I model after her, is that she always did important work. Like, it wasn't about, I mean, she had relative success in her space, but it was more important that she was doing work that impacted the world on some level, or the city in her case. So she worked in community housing and development for the city of Austin, and so helping low-income families get loans to own their home, which is incredible, right? And so for me, like, when I was working in New York and having this really fun New York life, I'm like, this is great, but I'm not really doing anything important. And for me, like, helping families gather their stories this way is maybe the most important work. I mean, it certainly feels like that to me. So I think she just instilled in me that, like, work doesn't have to just be about, you know, generating an income. You've got to, like, love it and be passionate about it and be doing something important for the community. So I hope I feel like that's what I'm doing. I get chills every project I work on, really. I mean, I'm just, like, overwhelmed with love for this.
You're best to be able to be doing what you love so much. And I think that your passion shows up in your work, which is amazing.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
So, Catherine, if listeners out there are interested in utilizing your services and preserving their family memories, how can they contact you? How can they learn more about it? Where can they look?
Sure. Again, because I think so often it's great to have an initial conversation. It's not always necessary, but it's a great start. I'm just going to go and give my phone number. Our office number is 512-296-8752, so you can get in touch with me that way, or at liveoaklegacies.com. And, of course, our website is www.liveoaklegacies.com.
Okay, great. So 512-296-8752. Schedule a consultation, or they can email you at info@liveoaklegacies.com, or they can go to www.liveoaklegacies.com.
That's correct.
And I will be posting all of that on my website. So if people missed it, they can go to my website and they'll find it there, drmaricarpel.com.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for coming on the show tonight. I think that, you know, when you talk about it, it's just so exciting. and I am really looking forward to the final result of the website that you're working on for my family. It's been really a very moving experience for me and my family.
Well, we can't wait to finish it for you also. Yeah, and it might just be an ongoing, ever-building thing, but we're really happy that you let us be a part of that.
Yeah, and you got my cousin involved in it because it was her project. Now she's having you digitalize everything for her.
I know. I love it. It's all in the family.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you.
And we'll be in touch.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye-bye, Dr. Carpel.
Bye-bye. Okay, everyone, stick around because after the break, Austin's favorite and my favorite salsa band, The Brew, will join us live from the Oasis on Lake Travis here in beautiful Austin, Texas, before they take the stage to perform for a special Mother's Day show. And we'll be hearing a little bit of their music. And then later on, veteran and skydiver Eric Normandin will talk about tandems for troops. And then the kinkster himself, Kinky Friedman, will be joining us. So we have a lot to come. Come right back.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about Essential Bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. Now, the next musicians have been on my show many times when I was on local Austin radio, and they're joining us once again from right here in Austin, Texas, live from the Oasis on Lake Travis, getting ready to take the stage for a special Mother's Day show. On the phone are my favorite and Austin's favorite salsa band, The Brew, and I believe that I have Michael Rodriguez, the leader of the group and lead guitar player, on the phone. Are you there, Michael?
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I just want to mention to you that there's a slight delay when we talk to each other through the radio,
okay.
So that we're aware. Welcome back to the show.
Oh yeah! Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Mother's Day to all out there.
Are you getting out there at the Oasis?
Yes. Actually, the doors were locked. We had to bang on the doors so they'd let us in. There was a big crowd already waiting.
They were waiting.
Yeah, we're just bringing our equipment through the elevator.
I want to tell you, Michael, that my parents really enjoyed your performance for Cinco de Mayo up in Georgetown last Monday while they were here in town. That was really special for them. They really enjoyed it, and so did I. I always do.
Well, but they were awesome.
You guys were awesome.
Thank you.
So now we were just playing one of your songs, After the Rain, because the last time I interviewed you, do you remember we were out in the middle of
the thunderstorms.
Standing under an awning doing a pre-recorded interview.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I had a great, that was a great time.
That was great.
I summed up our brew life like in 3 minutes. All the different stages of music we've been through. That was fun, though.
So you know, for the listeners who haven't heard our interviews before, maybe you can give a brief rundown of your musical history and talk about who the members of your band are.
Oh, okay. Well, let me start here. the brew started in the late 70s. We were actually called Homebrew when we were in Houston, and then we decided to change the name, you know, drop the home and call it Brew. Uh-huh. And we were doing everything from blues and country back then and a little bit of jazz. And we started getting into jazz toward the later 70s and then, you know, in 80s. And then we kind of mixed up, you know, doing that stuff with R&B and that kind of stuff. We did the R&B for at least 10 years, R&B jazz, and that's when we came out with our first CD. It was back in, we started the CD in 89 and released it in 90 in the beginning. That was a jazz R&B style album, a little bit of Latin in there. And the same thing for the next album that we did and that we released in 95 in the beginning. I mean, in the beginning and then Real Vista. Real Vista is the one we did. We released that one in 95, and we started going a little more Latin, that style, you know, in that album there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got fired from our gig over there at Top of the Mark, this guy, Miguel, who owned a salsa club, comes up to me at a jazz club that we're setting up at, which is the Elephant Room. And he goes, do you guys need a gig? And I said, yes, we just got fired. He says, I told him, we don't play salsa. He says, I don't care, just come set up and play. For several weeks, we got booed because, you know, we didn't know how to play salsa. And then we got a couple of salsa players in the band and kind of showed us, you know, a couple of things. And that's kind of how it took off.
Mm-hmm.
Our salsa is a little different, and we kind of improvise a lot in it, which means we do solos. And we don't do it exactly the way that we take the song and kind of turn it around and do stuff like that.
Right.
And this is where we're at now, and I kind of had the flamenco style guitar in it, and you know, I still do a little bit of the jazz stuff with Joe Morales on sax. And
mm-hmm.
You know, we have the three brothers, Mark, that's the bass player, Joe, you know, Rodriguez brothers, Joe on percussion, and then now we got our nephew Dylan playing drums with us, and we've actually gotten really tight because, you know, we get more stability when you use the same drummer all the time. And, you know, when a band plays together, the same guys, you know, get tighter that way.
Sure. Sure.
And then we have some of the other musicians that we use on Sundays, like Felipe Borrero on trumpet. And we kind of go between a guy named Don Pierce and other trombone players. And then we got a keyboard. We use a couple of different keyboard players. Stablin's the guy we use on Sunday. He's from Costa Rica. And we have Juan Diaz on vocals.
Mm-hmm.
That's our big group there, you know, our salsa group.
Right, right. Sundays when you
Gloria's and Oasis. And then we, you know, we find other days to mix, you know, to do our own stuff. Like when we play at ZTS, we do just a four-piece, which is a lot of fun to do because, you know, I get to do my own thing. And that's just the three brothers and my nephew. And And that's pretty much it there. We're trying to, we got a new CD coming out. We haven't named it yet, but it should be coming out by August.
Oh, great.
We're kind of gone back. We've gone back to some of the old stuff we were doing mixed with a, it's an instrumental album. It's not a salsa album. It's more of an instrumental acoustic guitar style album that we, that we use Latin rhythms, you know, like, you know, either salsa rhythms, cha-cha, even boleros, that kind of thing. And then we've even gone back to doing some of the little, you know, R&B jazz stuff that we were doing in the early 90s. Did a couple of those kind of songs on there. So we're hoping, you know, we've been doing a lot of work on it. We spent a lot of time and money, invested a lot of, so we got to get that together. Hopefully it'll be out by August, mid-August.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. And, I've seen you play at the different venues, and, you know, it is a little different wherever you play, right? When you play at the Oasis. Yeah, the Oasis is a big band, salsa music, and then at these smaller venues, it's more of a core band.
You have to be able to do that because there's not enough places that'll hire a big group, you know, that'll pay a big band to play. So you got to, you know, work smaller during the week, you know, even on Friday sometimes because there's just not enough gigs to go around unless you go out of town, which we need to do a lot. As soon as this new album comes out, we'll probably have to be touring, you know, at least around Texas to try to get it out there.
Sure. But I like all the different styles. I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, no matter whether you have a full band or this small core group.
We've been playing a long time, so you have to learn all kinds of styles.
Yeah.
We run across so many different musicians that are so great in Austin that do different styles, you know, do their own thing that really good, and you've got to be able to adapt to that.
Right.
And there's people that want to hear other stuff other than just the same old thing.
So we're going to play another one of your songs, Michael.
Okay.
All right, so stand by. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
I can talk a little more after this song, okay? All right, here's the brew again. All right. And we are listening to The Brew, and I'm speaking with Michael Rodriguez, the lead guitar player for The Brew. So what was the that song, Michael?
That's a song called Vasa Ved.
And yeah, what is that?
My brother used to say that all the time. Rudy, you'll see. Wait and see. Like, that kind of thing. So I wrote that song.
Okay.
And that's what I titled it. It's a cha-cha style tune.
Uh-huh.
D minor. But, yeah, that was off our third album. It was a lot of fun to make that album because we had a different styles of Latin kind of grooves, you know, that I'd never done before on the other albums. So that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So,
like
if people want to come out and hear you guys play, what are your regular gigs?
Well, you can see us at Oasis every Sunday, and then there's Gloria's, where they're every other Saturday, either the north one at the Domain or the one downtown.
And at the Oasis, it's from 7:30 till...
It's 7 to 10. 7 to 10.
Okay. All right. And then Gloria's is later at night, right?
Gloria's is late, really. Too late for us. We're a bunch of old guys, so, you know, they go at a... We go on at 11 over there, the one on the north side. And the one downtown, we go on at 11:15.
Oh, wow. It's like New York. Okay.
Yeah. They have to take all the tables out and make their big dance floor and everything and get all that together.
And then you also have the...
Then we do the Z-Tejas gig every Thursday, and that's with our small group, the quartet. You know, it's kind of stuff like what you just played right now. That's a lot of the stuff that we're doing there. And the same thing with Tortuga Flats on Friday. Both of those gigs go from, well, the ZKS goes from 6 to sometimes 9:45. If there are a lot of people there, we go to 10. And then Tortuga Flats, we go from 7 to 10.
From 7 to 10. Okay, so you're playing a lot.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun gigs to do.
Yeah, and I know sometimes you do special gigs in other places and...
Oh, yeah, we do fundraisers, you know, or we do weddings. We do all kinds of stuff, corporate parties. Those are the best gigs. They pay a lot, and it's less work.
So how can people find out where you're playing if you're places where they...
Brewmusic.com.
Brewmusic.com.
Yeah.
And they can hire you for their function or... See your calendar.
Yes, if we're open on that day, you know, we could arrange something.
Great.
We use different sizes of bands, and like, you know, if they want the big group, and of course, obviously, it's going to be more. You know, it's going to cost more. We
right.
Do it by that, you know.
Right.
If they want a
right.
smaller group, it's going to be cheaper.
Mhm. Mhm. And you have a calendar. You have a calendar there.
Yeah, you can go in there and look on the calendar, and it'll show the dates for this month. We're supposed to put up June's as well.
Okay. And they can buy your music?
They can buy our music through cdbaby.com.
Okay. All right. cdbaby.com.
We'll arrange it for us on iTunes when the new one comes out as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show, Michael.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, have a great gig tonight at the Oasis. I'm actually going to head on over there with the producer.
Okay.
Finish our show.
Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you. And so if listeners are out there and you want to come see the show, come join us.
All right. Happy Mother's Day to everybody.
All right.
All the mothers out there.
Yes. And you have a good evening. Have a good show, and we'll be seeing you there.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so stick around. We're going to take another quick break,
And then we will be back with veteran skydiver Eric Normandin, who will be telling us about Tandems for Truth. And then the Kinkster himself, Kinky Friedman, will be joining us. So stick around.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about Essential Bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock. Teach his tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Hear the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senoritas, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind. But the senoritas, they keep us in time. That part BCT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place, Punta Mita time. But the senoritas, they keep me in time. That poppy CT just blows my mind. And it takes me back to that place, Punta Mita time. That lightning striking the water makes the porpoises fly. Big belugas become ballerinas with a show just to see, and they call out to me. They say that we're 1 hour behind, but the senoritas, they keep us in time. Hey! That poppy CT just flows through our might. And it takes us back to that place. They say that we're 1 hour behind, but the señoritas, they keep us in time. That poppy CT just blows through my mind, and it takes me back to my place. Punta Mita time. Hey, yeah, yeah. Punta Mita time.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity. If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting
you,
at your...
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And on the phone from upstate New York, is this Joe or is this Eric?
This is Eric. I literally am picking up a parachute right now, actually.
Okay. We have
just
combat, we have combat veteran and skydivers fresh from the air, Eric Normandin, who is joining us to talk about the upcoming Memorial Day weekend event to raise money for the Wounded Warrior Project called Hands Up for Truth. Good evening, Eric. How was your dive?
Good evening. I just got down. It was beautiful. Actually, it's been a beautiful day, probably in the mid-70s, a nice light wind, and it's been a good day for skydiving.
Okay. So,
did 9 tandems today, actually. Sorry.
What was that?
I said I actually did 9 tandems today.
Oh, wow. I want to tell you just before we go on that there's a slight delay when we talk on the phone through the radio like this. So just so you're aware so we don't talk over each other.
Yes, ma'am.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I turned 18. I
joined the United States Navy from Plattsburgh, New York. Served in the Navy in Hawaii for pretty much those 5 years in a patrol squadron VP9, and was there for about 5 years. Did a couple tours in Iraq. I ended up doing 3 tours over in the desert, actually. The Wounded Warrior Project ended up helping me while I was in Iraq. I actually wasn't wounded, but I had to go up to Germany for surgery. So any time that a warrior moves around in country, or if they're injured or anything, needs medevac back or to Germany, they pretty much take care of it.
Okay.
They
take care of it financially?
Of course the military is taking care of the transportation stuff, but they'll give backpacks to the wounded warriors, helping mm-hmm. them get along with the whole process of moving around in and out of country, making it back home, the transition back to home life if the injury is, you know, quadriplegia, paraplegia, you know, big injuries like that. They help them get incorporated back into the civilian life.
Right. And so now you're a tandem skydive instructor?
Yes, ma'am. I have been doing tandems for 4 years. Probably have about 3,500 tandem skydives. I'm also an AFF instructor, so I get a chance to also teach people how to skydive, so that's a lot of fun. Go ahead.
No, go on.
We've been involved with, taking paraplegics and quadriplegics and, taking people with amputees in the past, and I worked in the Midwest at a place called Skydive Midwest and ended up doing tandems for troops out there, so I got a chance to work with the Wounded Warrior Project before, so now I'm here out east and decided to try to get it out here.
So what is tandems for troops?
So we're going to take 10 combat wounded veterans for free skydive. So they come out, we'll take them on a free skydive. That's normally about $220, and then we'll give them a free video also. That's about $120. So each one of our wounded warriors are going to get a free tandem, a free video. And then we're just trying to raise money through raffles or donations to the Wounded Warrior Project. So obviously the Wounded Warrior Project has done a lot for these guys, just trying to help pass that along.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're actually going to be taking wounded warriors on a tandem skydive?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
At least that's the plan.
So I would imagine that there might be some different needs when you're taking someone on a skydive who might have a physical disability.
Yeah, a lot of the disability issues, a lot of those disability issues comes into play more for the landing. If we have trouble getting your feet up for landing, that can be a big deal. So obviously paraplegics and quadriplegics have trouble with that. We work with getting a harness prepared for them so that way we can lift their feet up and keep their feet off the ground for the landing. But that's really the biggest problem. The harness pretty much fits most people. So, it holds about 15,000 pounds, so you're not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
There might be a harness change also, like if, somebody's amputee closer to, like, the pelvis or something, there might be an issue with, like, leg straps and stuff. But we're going to try to accommodate anybody that that comes out.
And I would imagine it helps to build confidence.
Absolutely. And, you do this a lot, and for most times it's a pretty relaxing job. When you start to deal with people, that are a little more physically challenged, your workload definitely goes up, and therefore you're working a lot harder to make sure everybody's safe and gets down right.
Sure. Now, since you're a combat veteran yourself, would you say that your bond with the other veterans is heightened at all by doing this jump with them?
I tend to get along easily with the military people that come out and skydive with me. I always wanted to be in the military, so, me joining the military when I was young, I miss it. And, getting a chance to connect with them again, it feels good. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I enjoy people, taking people that I can relate to, and I can definitely relate to them, yeah.
So I understand that this fundraising event is also tied with a fundraising for another my previous guest and a fellow skydiver of yours, Montana Miller, will be participating in.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. She's going to be doing a record event. I think it's a women's way, 200 mm-hmm. way, I think. I don't remember the exact number.
201 way formation.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's really exciting. You get a chance to be part of World Records, you know, you have to jump at it, and I'm excited for it. I'm stoked. Should be good. And, you know, she's really helped us out, was really motivated to, you know, get out there and help Wounded Warrior Projects and Thanos for Troops. So I'm really excited to see her make a good skydive.
Yeah. So it sounds like an exciting time for everyone.
Skydiving is always exciting. You know, people come up to me and ask me, does it ever get boring? And you know what? Yeah, riding an airplane gets boring, you know, but jumping out of an airplane will never get boring. It's always fun.
So where is this Tandem for Troops event happening?
Tandem for Troops is happening right here at Skydive the Ranch, which is in Gardner, New York, New Paltz, New York, just outside of New Paltz, New York, just off of 87. So people coming up from the city, it's not not far off of the interstate, maybe 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. New Paltz is beautiful. When I lived in New York, I used to spend a lot of time there.
It's a beautiful area, actually, yeah. Either spend a day rock climbing, spend a day hang gliding, or spend a day skydiving. It doesn't matter. Lots of adventure around here.
So how can people participate in this event? Well, if they're in New York, they obviously can go watch it. But if they're far away, like I'm doing this show here in Texas, so how can people, you know, help with the fundraising?
Okay, well, number one, if you're here, obviously you can partake in the raffle or anything like that. If you'd like to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project through Tandems for Troops, you would make out a check basically to the Wounded Warrior Project, send it to Tandems for Troops, attention Tandems for Troops, Skydive the Ranch, 55 Sand Hill Road, Gardner, New York, 2525. Send that on out, and we'll tally up our total and get it right over to Wounded Warrior Project. So if anybody's willing to help out, we will accept any donations.
Okay. Okay. So can you send me all that information on Facebook, and I will post it on my website?
Yes, ma'am. I can absolutely do that.
Okay. That would be great. So later tonight or early tomorrow, I will be posting that on my website. So if people missed it, they can go to my website and get all that information. Or do you have a website, or is there a Facebook page for Tandems for Troops where people can?
There is a Facebook page for Tandems for Troops called Tandems for Troops. Skydive the Ranch has a website. If you need to find the address there, I'm pretty sure on the Facebook page, the address and information is on the profile picture. So
on,
if you'd like to.
For Troops or the Skydive the Ranch?
On Tandems for Troops Facebook page. The profile picture has some information and I believe the address and information on how to send us a donation.
Okay. Okay. Great. Great. So this sounds like a really great thing that you're doing. You know, it's free to the veterans, I understand.
Yeah, we're taking 10. So, you know, it's we're going to get more and more, I hope, as the years go on. This is our first Tandems for Troops event here at the ranch. So as long as it goes well, I'm hoping my boss gives me more go-aheads to give away more tandems. So I'd like to take every wounded veteran if I could.
Yeah. Well, it sounds wonderful. I hope that you have beautiful weather.
It looks like it. Well, it's perfect right now. If it can be like this Memorial Day, then I'll be very happy.
Okay. Well, great. Have a wonderful time. Have a beautiful day. And thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you so much for what you're doing.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me. And hopefully I'll see you in the sky.
Yeah, I would love to come by when I'm in New York.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Have a wonderful
All right.
evening.
What's that?
I said have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
All right. Good night. Okay, so if people missed that, Tandem for Troops has a Facebook page, and it has all the information about how you can donate to the Wounded Warrior Project through Tandem for Troops. And I will be posting it later on my website, drmaricarpel.com. It sounds like a great event. And so without further ado, we have with us on the line, I'm very excited, joining us from Kerrville, Texas, home of the Utopia Animal Rescue Ranch. We have the founder of that ranch, singer-songwriter, performer, humorist, entrepreneur, novelist, and for the Texas Commissioner of Agriculture, the Kinkster himself, Kinky Friedman.
Hey, Mara, how are you?
I'm okay. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Mara. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Things are a little hectic out here, shall we say, today. But we'll get it together. This campaign is reaching the critical point here. I think early voting starts on the 19th.
Okay.
And goes through the 23rd, and then the runoff election for Agriculture Commissioner is Tuesday, May 27th. And anybody can vote, Mara. Anybody that hasn't voted in the Republican primary. Doesn't matter if you're an independent, Republican, or a Democrat. Even
okay.
though it is the Democratic primary.
It's the Democratic primary.
Yeah, okay. yeah. Democratic primary, May 27th, Tuesday. So.
Okay. So, you know, some listeners may not be familiar with what you're talking about. So maybe you can you fill them in on it?
Sure. I'm running for Agriculture Commissioner, and the we're making it kind of a referendum on lifting the prohibition on pot and hemp in the state of Texas.
Ah, okay.
And this the question asked is it good for Texas? And, of course, hemp is a very easy one because every farmer would rather grow hemp if he could, if it was legal, because it only uses 50% of the water that cotton does, half the water. And it requires no pesticides whatsoever. And cotton is now sucking down 50% of all chemicals and pesticides used in American agriculture.
Hmm.
So really, unless you're getting paid off by Monsanto or somebody who makes pesticides, you would
right.
rather grow hemp than cotton. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, the number one hemp producer in the world is China, and the number one customer is the United States.
Okay.
So we would like Texas to get involved in that.
Uh-huh.
And this is not left-wing, right-wing thing. I mean, you got Kentucky, where industrial hemp is producing it, is now legal, and you got Mitch McConnell promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if it's only a left-wing thing. It's something that farmers would, let's put it this way. The Poteet Strawberry Festival, if I win in a year or so, might be called something else.
Okay.
Because the farmers are going to want to grow hemp. And you know, last month I went up to Big Spring and talked to some farmers there. They haven't had a crop in 6 years. And
mm-hmm.
it's kind of, the drought is taking its toll. They would love to grow hemp, and it would
right.
work. Yeah.
So what kind of things are hemp used for?
Hemp makes over 30,000 products, and are just beginning to understand what it can do for medicine, which is huge with pot and hemp,
mm-hmm.
medicinal marijuana, seeing as Texas has arguably the finest cancer hospital in the world, MD Anderson.
Right.
And no medicinal marijuana program. So it's really rather shameful, and it's hard to figure why we wouldn't have one when 76% of the doctors in America want pot as something they can use because they're now aware that chemo kills more people than the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've had cancer, and gone through the chemotherapy, I mean, and you can't really eat for 6 months, and you can't sleep for 6 months, and you're nauseous and dizzy all the time, that will kill you.
Right.
I mean, that'll bring your immune systems down.
Mm-hmm.
And pot can fix that. And now Israeli scientists and doctors in Colorado are giving pot not just to young children with epilepsy, but to people with MS, people with Parkinson's, autistic kids, little children that are autistic, and Alzheimer's patients are receiving all. Israel is giving pot to all of those people with very compelling results. And the only reason we're not doing it here, one, that our federal government lists pot as a dangerous drug, so it's very difficult to research it. And two, of course, you can grow it anywhere, so the pharmaceutical companies are really not interested.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So that's a no-brainer. The medicinal marijuana is something everybody should be able to get behind, because cancer is going to take out one in three of us, and it will be the biggest enemy we face, bigger than terrorism or
mm-hmm.
anything else you can think of. So.
And the research has shown that medicinal marijuana can be beneficial for cancer.
Say that again, the first part.
The research has supported idea that it benefits cancer.
Yes, and you can start with Sanjay Gupta's documentary Weed on CNN, where he
mm-hmm.
was totally against legalizing pot at the beginning of the documentary, and by the end, he's become a big believer in it. And
mm-hmm.
I don't smoke pot myself. As I say, the only time I ever touch pot is when I'm with Willie Nelson, just kind of out of Texas etiquette, you know, it's just good manners. And the last time I smoked with Willie was in February at his house in Maui. And uh-huh. I got so high I needed a stepladder to scratch my ass. I mean, it was... So I don't smoke pot. And this is not about long-haired hippies smoking dope. It's about the future of Texas. And you can look mm-hmm. up, Mario, you can look to Colorado and see this tiny little pissant state. Every week they seem to be making $116 million more that they didn't think they were going to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you can multiply their whole yearly, their take, multiply it by about 700 or so, and you'd see how much money Texas could make.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a fortune.
Wow.
And, you know, there's other areas of agreement. When we seek common humanity, as Barbara Jordan said, to find common humanity, look at things we all agree on, that our criminal justice system currently is making, it's making criminals out of people who aren't criminals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in 2010, according to the Dallas Observer, Texas arrested 74,000 nonviolent pot users. These were not dealers. 74,000 of them, at a cost of $250 million to the taxpayer.
Wow.
And then we incarcerated them, which we have now learned that we could have put 74,000, all of them, through Harvard cheaper than it cost us to incarcerate
wow.
them in these private prison chains.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And now we discover that there were seven times as many Hispanics and African Americans in that group as there were whites. So the whole thing stinks. I mean, it's, and the other thing pot will do and is already doing is it will cripple the Mexican drug cartels. It's estimated up to 60% of their profits will evaporate for them, and the new cartel will be the taxpayers of Texas.
Okay.
So all of this makes sense in an
yeah.
economic way. Taxes in Colorado are going down, property taxes, state and local taxes.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen here. And it's really a question of whether we, you know, are ready for it. Are we? Polls show that we are. I think it's important to do soon because it's about leadership. And Texans are going to have to decide. I can't make this decision. The people of Texas will have to decide, do we want to be seceders or do we want to be leaders?
You make some great points, Pinky.
Well, I know. Thank you, Mara. I mean, I think I can sell this to the Republicans if I win this runoff May 27th. I think they'll go for it. They'll understand this. A family of an autistic child knows that I'm serious about this. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years ago, giving pot to an autistic kid would be unthinkable, or to Alzheimer's patients.
Right.
Israel and Colorado are doing both of those things.
And they're having good results.
Having great results. That's one thing on the Sanjay Gupta piece. You saw this little 5-year-old girl, many people remember this, who was having 100 seizures a day, each one of them life-threatening.
Wow.
And Governor Christie of New Jersey would not expand the medicinal marijuana program. He wouldn't let it get anywhere in New Jersey. So you could buy the pot, but you had to make it in your kitchen. You know, you had to make the liquid form of it, which is very impossible to do. But in Colorado, they've been researching this stuff. And so this 5-year-old kid, Charlotte, goes out to Colorado with her family, takes one droplet, it's a little liquid form, a pot, and that day her seizures were cut from 100 to 1.
Wow.
And after that, not even one. I mean, they gave her this little treatment. And a 2-year-old child, same thing, 75 seizures down to almost nothing. So now there's 50 kids there in this program, and you're seeing parents from all over the country bring in autistic children, kids with epilepsy. You're seeing Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS. I mean, MS is a terrible disease. You can't cure it. And you could wake up in the morning paralyzed. You could wake up blind, you know. It just depends, different. And pot seems to take away the pain and these symptoms. So, you know, whether it cures the disease, it makes life functional and livable. Many, many people are saying they only got through chemo because of pot. And again, I'm not some pothead that's telling you pot cures everything. I don't know. I just know what I'm seeing and hearing in the Petri dish of Colorado and the country of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seeing that at MD Anderson Cancer Hospital.
Right.
And we should be. That one, and, you know, when you have that, when 3/4 of the doctors all wanting it, I think it's crazy not to have it, and I think Texas is ready for it.
So Pinky, are you going to be speaking anywhere before the runoff to talk about some of these issues?
Yes, we're doing, Willie and I are doing a radio broadcast called the Texas Herbal Radio Network.
Okay.
With stations all across Texas on Friday, the 16th, starting at 1 o'clock. It'll be right from Willie's bus in Nashville. We'll both be there. And I will not be smoking any pot because I want to be... I don't want... my facial muscles felt like they were paralyzed last time. I couldn't smile, you know? But Willie is a poster boy for pot. I mean, he smokes a boatload every day. He never forgets a lyric. He never misses a note. He never misses a show.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable. So I don't care about the recreational aspects of this. I care about the other candidates all talking about education and doing nothing about it. And I'm just telling you how we can fund it. This is how we fund it, the way Colorado is funding education and health care with pot. And, I mean, I'll tell you who else besides the cancer community is for legalizing. Now, by the way, the show with Willie will be the first, I think, mainstream dialogue. It'll be in your town. I mean, everywhere in Texas. Just
so
discussing.
Texas Herbal Radio Network, is it online?
Texas Herbal Radio Network. And I'll tell you the best way to find it might be on our website, Texas for Kinky.
Texas for Kinky.
Yeah,
okay.
They would have what stations are carrying it. But they should be talking about it, and it'll be pretty clear. They'll be taping it and running it again and again if it's good. and I think it will be good because I've never, you know, I've never really heard of a mainstream dialogue on pot and hemp like this. And I started to tell you that law enforcement, you know, is a group of people that I've gone out of my way to ask questions to. So when I meet the most redneck deputy sheriff in the Hill Country, I ask him, are you for or against legalizing pot? So far, about 99.9% of the people I've spoken to favor legalization that are in law enforcement. It's incredible. I mean, I would have thought that many of them would not be for it. But what they're telling me, they're telling me two things. One, that the war on drugs has killed more cops than just about anything, and a lot of innocent people, and it's been a horrible, dismal failure, and it's been going for 5 decades, and it cost over $1 trillion to our government, the most expensive program we've ever run. And all it's done is empower all the bad guys in the hemisphere, and they're all against it. I mean, they are against the war on drugs, and they think legalizing pot in Texas would end the war on drugs. And I think they're right. And they also say that every night they get a call, you know, some guy has a few drinks and beats up his wife, and they've got to deal with it. And they say they've never had a case of a guy smoking a few joints and beating up his wife.
Right.
Because the guy forgets to beat up his wife, you see. He beats up a bag of Doritos or something else. So this is just fact. They do not want to go out, waste their time and energy busting potheads. Cops do not like to do that. They know what a waste of manpower and taxpayer money it is. So they're really aboard, too. I mean, I would like to clear out those prison chains because I'm telling you, those young people, when they go out to do a job interview later, they may do a great interview, but the person's going to ask them, is there anything else you'd like to tell us? And when they say, well, yes, I did a year of time for, well, that person is not going to get the job.
That's right.
And, I mean, they've closed a lot of doors to anybody's future that's ever busted for pot.
Right.
And so everybody
and we want
loses.
People to go back to work. We want people to be working in this state.
Yeah, I mean, I think those private prison chains could be used for rehab or used to grow organic gardens, which we want to have in the cities, in the schools, urban farming, where the kids themselves grow an organic garden and feed the school with it. That can be done. The Ann Richards School in Houston is currently doing just that.
Really?
But what if every school in Texas did that? The kids would know about the vegetables, about the gardens, where they come from, how to grow them. That could be a cool deal. That's not legislation. That's inspiration.
And they would be a lot healthier, too, because they would be excited to eat organic vegetables.
Absolutely. And you know, it's currently there are 247,000 small farmers and ranchers in Texas. And this group is dwindling every day, Mara, every day. People are losing land that has been in the family for generations, and now it's under foreclosure.
Wow.
For various reasons, maybe the kids are moving out into the cities, whatever. So this is the group that the Republicans usually don't, you know, they don't stand with those people. It's not that they're all like this. It's just that we've had a succession of politicians who have turned the ag office into kind of a stepping stone for the next Republican guy who wants to move on up the ladder. And there hasn't been a Democrat elected to anything in 20 years, from governor to dog catcher. You know, it just hasn't happened. So here I think is a real chance for us to get some balance and to get a voice. And I'm not really a modern-day Democrat. I'm an old-time, anti-establishment, Harry Truman, blue dog Democrat. And of this 247,000 small farmers and ranchers, I don't know if the Ag Department really is looking after them, or would the Ag Department rather deal with Monsanto and the corporations Would they like to spend their time with Nolan Ryan, who has 3 ranches and 900 million head of cattle? Well, I think normally they would drift over to the big guys. They're for the Rockefellers, and I'm for the little fellers.
Dinky.
Yes.
This is Art.
Hey, Art.
I very seldom jump into the show because it's usually about psychology and our golden years. But you're touching something that I'm very, very for. You know, I'm so against the GMOs and the large, you know, drug companies that are just killing all the plants. And it's really an amazing thing. Is there any, how can people ask for your campaign, send money to your campaign at all? Is there any way?
Absolutely. Texas for Kinky. Texas, the state for Kinky, is the best way to send money to us, and we'd appreciate it. By the way, Art, a guy in Houston, at a little fundraiser we were having, came up to me with an idea that I think has a lot of genius to it, and that is we've been campaigning against GMOs. You know, we've been saying they should be mandatory labeling and all that sort of thing. This guy is saying, forget the mandatory labeling. Come up with a more expensive product that has its own label, that is Texas-grown non-GMO.
Oh.
And I started thinking about that, and boy, I think Whole Foods and those places would jump to buy something that is certified by the state of Texas as Texas-grown non-GMO. I think that's the way to beat them at their own game.
Right.
I don't know that it would, you know, I don't know what the, I do know that the Ag Department has over $600 million in the budget, which is making me pretty confident about advancing the pot and hemp issues, because I could take a guy like you, Art, and I'd say, Art, you've got some land over here. Would you like to grow hemp or pot if we gave you a grant, a pilot project? And you know we're going to be sued by Greg Abbott or whoever is the governor or the attorney general. They're going to, and that will throw it into the courts, and we will have the best phalanx of lawyers ready to argue this. And that would move actually faster in the courts than it ever would in the Texas legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if I'm elected, that is a non-binding referendum for pot and hemp. And we could really start putting the pressure on the legislature. They understand that if Waco goes for lifting the prohibition, then the guy representing Waco is going to know he ain't even going to be there in a year if he doesn't shape up.
Right.
Very good.
So I like that. Just think about that, Art.
I will.
Because, I mean, that's kind of a clever thing. I don't know if it would work. But you never know. You know, until you're president or until you're attorney general or until you're ag commissioner, you really don't know what the issues are that are going to, you know, right now it's mostly water. I'm convinced if hemp becomes a major crop in Texas, that just right there, that would cut 50% of water to agribusiness. And I'll tell you a little thing that happened to me. I've got a very famous friend who's a songwriter and singer in Austin, and his wife is a really active liberal Democrat. And his wife asked me, and they're friends, you know, I mean, the wife asked me where I was going on the campaign trail next, and I said, Lubbock. And she says, yuck. So if I told her I was going to El Paso, she would have said, yuck.
Uh-huh.
If I told her I was going to the Panhandle, she would have said, yuck. And if I told her I was going to East Texas, she'd say, yuck. Now, maybe if I was going to Marfa or to Dallas or something, she would, San Antonio would probably be okay. Certainly being in Austin was cool. But I started thinking what hypocrisy that is. Because the rural folks, I mean, you know, El Paso has the world's largest desalination plant inland. the world's largest, and they've been running it for 20 years.
Unreal.
They're preparing like water from the Gulf. They're getting water, brackish water, and El Paso, as you notice, has very few sod lawns. They encourage natural habitat.
Right. Huh.
And they've got rainwater catchment everywhere. I mean, the town really understands the water situation, and it's never brought up. Nobody mentions the El Paso model. You know that we could do that. And the reason is because to the politicians in Austin, it might as well be Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's really, I think these good old boys get elected to ag commissioner and they immediately turn into empty suits.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So I plan to be a very proactive ag commissioner if I win this. And my one question will be old Bob Bullock's old question, which is, is it good for Texas? And I mean, we have one thing we got to do is embrace the future. We absolutely have to do that, which is why I'm advocating moving now on the pot and the hemp. And the future may slap us in the face. I mean, May 27th, I may lose this runoff.
Mm-hmm.
But it might also hug us back. And that would be that'd really be a good thing.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help, let me know, because the 27th is still a ways down.
Well, you already have. We could certainly use some financial assistance. Texas for Kinky, send us a check of any size would be great. And let's cross the finish line here, because I got a feeling, Art, you've been through a bunch of these. I think this feels really anti-establishment to me, both parties. When I talk to Republicans, they don't like Dewhurst or Perry or Abbott. They're not raving about them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean they, well, Ted Cruz's election showed that. I mean, their own party controls the whole state, but they're not happy with it. And certainly the independents and libertarians are not. And the Democrats, we've got to follow Barbara Jordan's example. We've got to find common humanity. I mean, the Republicans run the state. If I win, that'll be one office that we hold.
All right. Great.
We've got to, you know, I mean, that is how we win, with common humanity. That is how we get things done, common humanity. That means not beating the Republicans or the Republicans beating us, but finding things we can agree upon. And one of them, I know, is not making criminals out of people who aren't really criminals.
Right, right.
That's got to go. So, along with a whole lot of other things, but we have a little time. We got 6 months to sell this. Yeah.
Well, I want you to know, Kiki, that let me finish real quick. I'll get offline. I want you to know that this is the first time this program has gone over 2 hours, because we have a 30 minute buffer, and I said we're going over the 30 minutes because I want to make sure that you got enough sets so people can really see you're serious. We've known each other for many years, Kinky, and I know how serious you are about animals, and just anyone who loves animals as much as you do and takes care of them like you do, I know how sincere you are about your going towards the Agricultural Commission.
Well, Art, there's nothing in the world as serious as a comedian who's telling the truth.
That's true. Well, I'm going to get off the line and let Dr. Carpenter close it out with you.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you, Art. Thanks.
So Kinky, I'm going to post that website link on my website later tonight. So if people didn't get their pen and paper out in time to write it down, they can check out my website. And you have all of that information on your website of how they can succeed and your platform is. And
right, the platform, everything will be there. And, of course, I don't do Facebook yet, but apparently that thing is blowing up and doing very well for us. So, I mean, there's a lot of folks out there who would like more than anything to embrace the future. It's just that our elected officials don't seem to feel that way.
Right, right.
And that's where the mandatory sonogram law and things like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are just as the hospital nurse told me recently, that's just cruel.
Yeah.
That accomplishes nothing.
Yeah. So Kiki, after the election is over, well, you'll be busy because you'll be then in the real election, in the big election, right?
That's right. Yeah, if we win this, I really look forward to that because I think this is very winnable. As you may know this, Mara, but last week the first poll came through that shows that Texans favor, the majority of Texans endorse, support gay marriage. That's the first time that's ever happened.
Right.
This poll. And I remember in 2006 when I was running for governor, I endorsed gay marriage. And Hillary was against it, and Obama was against it, and every politician was against it because it was political suicide, so they thought. Today, 8 years later, lo and behold, everybody's for it. Ted Cruz is for it. We're all for it. So great political courage. But, I said at the time that they have every right to be just as miserable as the rest of us. So I don't know, I'm not saying I was a visionary, but I am saying I'm feeling the same thing about lifting the prohibitions on hemp and pot that I did about gay marriage. It's going to be the same thing. When it happens, it's going to happen fast, and Texas needs to be there if it wants to gain the national leadership it should.
Right. So now, Kinky, do you have another website where people could see where you're – I know that you're giving some performances or talks.
Well, kinkyfriedman.com, Texas for Kinky, and I think that will have to refer you to other stuff.
Because I saw that you're giving a talk here in Austin on the 18th.
The 18th of May?
Yeah.
No, that's in San Antonio.
Oh, that's in San Antonio.
I hope so, because it's going to be difficult to be in both places. But,
but
yeah, that is a fundraiser for Agudas Achim. Can you say that, Mara?
Achim.
Mm-hmm. which is a synagogue in San Antonio. And there'll be a lot of Christians and Jews all there. That will be Sunday night, May 18th. That's a concert. That's a show.
Right. That's what I thought. That was more of a concert event.
Yeah. Now, we're going to be doing stuff everywhere. If we can win this runoff on the 27th, Tuesday the 27th, that's get out and vote, folks. You don't have to be a Democrat to vote in the Democratic primary here. And it will be a non-binding referendum. If we win this thing, the politicians are going to have to start paying attention. In fact, if they don't, I don't know. I've never seen so many fed-up people in my life who are just saying, where do I go to give up, you know? I mean, Republicans and Democrats who are very unhappy.
Right. Well, thank you, Kinky, for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks. It's a pleasure, and you guys are great, and thanks for helping us get the word out. Everybody vote. Don't forget to vote.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good evening.
Okay. All right, Mara. Thanks. Bye.
All right. So.
All right. Well, that was painless.
We have come to the end of another show already. We've gone over 2 hours, and it has flown by, and I want to let you know what's coming up next week. Right here on Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Tune in next Sunday, May 18th at 5 p.m. Central Time, that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be back here in beautiful Austin, Texas. Joining me will be writer, composer, recording artist, lecturer, teacher, and master pianist Al Guastafesta, who will be joining us from sunny Florida to talk about his music, his performances and teaching, and his memoirs detailing his performances, conversations, and personal experiences shared with Marilyn Monroe called A Different View of Marilyn,
and we'll be hearing some of his original music. And Paul Stephenson, author of the book Rare, My Daughter's Faithful Journey Through Cancer, joins us to talk about his new book and about why awareness of the rare cancers is important. Also, Laura Gelazunis will be reporting in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show and about upcoming shows or to be a sponsor, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's DrMarakarpel. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. This show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Live Oak Legacies. Special thanks to my guest, Catherine Gonzalez of Live Oak Legacies, Eric Normandin, who is taking veterans on tandem skydive for Tandems for Truth, the Kinkster, Kinky Friedman, and the members of The Brew. And thank you, Art. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there and to my mom. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. And now off to the Oasis to listen to The Brew and do a little salsa dancing. Good night, everyone.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com. Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.